This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Happy Earth Day to everybody out there. Mm-hmm. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude.
It's Earth Day,
too? It is Earth Day.
It's Earth Day?
Yeah.
Earth
Day. Yeah, yeah. A little anecdote that probably nobody wants, is, yeah. especially when I was younger.
So Reggie and the Earth were born on the same day.
Earth Day birthday.
Yeah. But no, I'd watch the news, and when they're like, Happy Earth Day, I'd be like, thank you, I appreciate
that. So Sean reminded me of something about when he asked what you were doing, what Seth was doing at 33. I thought about what I was doing at 33.
Yeah, what were you up to?
You're going to like this. Because you're 33 now, and the Rockets are in the playoffs. When I was 33, I was covering the 1995 Rockets. I was writing columns on the 1995 Rockets.
What's happening
here.
How
did they end up doing?
This is a really tortured way of getting here, but I love it. Let's see about a 2025 championship for the Rockets. We'd love that. They would need to get a victory. Well, I mean, I don't think you'd absolutely have to, opposed to what Lopez says about this being a must-win game.
I never said it was a must-win.
I mean, you implied it.
I did.
You
not.
Intimated such things.
I said it will be effectively over.
All right, so Sean Pendergast, please step to the
microphone.
That's
a big difference.
John
effectively
Lopez,
over and must-win.
We are stepping into the court of the honorable Judge Sean Pendergast.
Mm-hmm.
The defendant, John Lopez, stated, and I'll allow you to say it yourself so that there you cannot claim that I misquoted you. What did you say?
That if the Rockets don't win game two at home, the series is effectively over.
That's the same thing as
colloquial
must win.
It's the same thing.
Effectively over as opposed to ineffectively over?
You know, effectively as opposed to must win when the season is, in fact, over.
I think they're the same.
That's what I'm
the
talking
meaning
about.
Behind both of them. Are
God,
the
that felt so
nope.
so validating.
I love it.
If it's not over, then why do
and
you guys say
no
it's
such
over?
Thing as momentum.
It's not. It's not over, but it's effectively over. Effectively means like it's not officially over, but in essence, effectively.
Sorry, the judge has already ruled.
I don't like
await sentencing.
Kangaroo court.
Just await sentencing. I appreciate all the folks on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Jim. It's my birthday. What's happening, dog?
Yeah.
There you are, 713-572-4610. And on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. Appreciate you guys sending me birthday wishes. I want to get this out of the way right now, and maybe I'll bring it back up later because it is not necessarily entirely for me, but if you are inclined to want to do anything for me, you don't have to be, but if you are inclined to want to do anything for me, what I would ask you to do is if you got just a little bit of cash hanging around, I mean, as little as $15, can you do something for me?
What's that?
Drop it on the Houston Food Bank on the National Domestic Violence Hotline. I'm wearing my...
You just took your shoe off.
Yeah, I took my shoe off because my kicks was the Houston Area Women's Center,
all right,
which is supported by the National Domestic Violence Hotline. So if you would like to do something for my benefit, just to say happy birthday, put a little cash on some very, very well-deserving causes that support Houston area people.
I like that, man. That's dope, man. I'm proud of you. I thought you were going to throw your cash app out there for me.
No, absolutely not. I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
I'm like, damn. Huh?
Some people do.
Yeah.
Nah, man. I'm not trying to get got. Not on my birthday. That's the worst. Getting fired for cause on your birthday got to be one of the worst things that happens. Actually, 713-572-4610. What's the worst thing that's happened to you on your birthday?
Ooh, man.
Yeah.
What's the worst? Well, back when I was traveling and writing, I spent probably five or six birthdays by myself traveling, covering you know, March Madness or Astro spring training or something like that. So I guess that would be about the worst.
That's not too bad. Yeah. That's not too bad. Yeah. I almost
got arrested on my.
Oh, that's better.
That's better.
Almost.
All right. Here. You won the hand at this point. I kind of want to hear it, but I feel like I also want to hear about C.J. Stroud possibly giving us the game on what this offense is. Can you do it in 3 minutes, in 2 minutes or less?
Yeah, so long story less long, I went to a hotel party. The hotel people tried to stop us from coming in. It was like 20 of us. Mm-hmm. So we decided to go through a back door.
Uh-oh.
That alarm started going off in the back door, and next thing you know, the cops was there. Everybody scattered. And they caught me.
Damn.
And they asked me for my ID. And what do you know? My ID is gone. I'd have dropped my ID somewhere.
Sure. Yeah.
So the guy was just like.
He's still sticking to that story.
The ID was like, that. I lost my ID. I always had my ID.
Mm-hmm.
And the cop was like, get the hell out of here. Because it was just so many of us. Like, get the hell out of here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But not having your license, man, you could go. They'll put you in the back of the car for that.
Yeah, they
alone.
Will. Yeah.
So I got out of that one.
Especially when you were up to some shenanigans to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
Glad you didn't end up in the clink behind that.
Tried to see some girls. All for some girls at a hotel party.
Ain't it? It's always that, ain't it?
Yeah.
All right. There's no good segue for that. Or maybe there is, but I'm not going to find it. C.J. Stroud, one of the major players. Okay. He loves Jesus more, though. I want to be very
clear. He's been to hotel parties.
All right.
He dropped a girl off at the hotel.
He did do that once. Yeah, yeah. But C.J. Stroud, one of the main players on this Texas team, and when I say main players, obviously football players, but then also just people when it comes to this organization and the way that they go about things. You know, he talked to the Assembly Media yesterday in addition to D'Amico, Ryans, and Will Anderson Jr. And one of the things that I found to be super interesting is that C.J. Stroud, it felt like he was giving us a little bit of game on what this offense might look like, which we had not gotten.
Yeah.
It felt like we were operating purely in the dark when it came to what this offense would look like headed up to the 2025 NFL draft, where it's reasonable to expect that they will take a number of guys to fit into that offense, except I don't know what they're fitting into.
Yeah. I thought this was very revealing. Like on April 21st, I guess so, official press conference or whatever, for him to be as clear on what the Texans are doing, I thought it was extremely revealing. We've speculated. We've talked about, all right, so maybe he wants more control of the offense. He told us he did. Maybe he's going to have more control at the line of scrimmage. He told us he will. You know, maybe he's going to have a bigger say in actual game planning and, some of the things they run. He told us that too. Like this was very revealing in how the Texans are going to operate under Nick Caley and frankly Gerard Johnson. He went there as well in 2025. So I thought it was very, very good.
All right, just to make sure that people know that you're not capping or lying, if you don't want me to use that youth talk. I am 33. Maybe I need to age this thing up
a little bit.
Right. But this is C.J. Stroud being asked how he feels about this offensive scheme that Nick Caley is bringing to Houston.
He comes from LA and New England, and you know he's gonna bring some of that swag over here. So, that kind of is what I'm used to, is taking control and being a little more pre-snap. You know, having tools to put my guys in the best position, and that's something that we really didn't work on these last 2 years. But even those principles I learned from, and it made me better because it added a new element to my game. So. Be able to, just get better and learn from, what he did with, New England and L.A. Would definitely help me because I feel, those are two schemes that I'm, kind of used to in a sense. Like, that's kind of what I ran out of Ohio State, what kind of New Orleans does a little bit. And in L.A., it's kind of what we ran here these last 2 years. So I'll be able to, put my swag on it and have fun with it. And, he's all about, me taking full ownership and running the show. And that's what I want. So, I'm going to get what I want. And that's really been really cool just to see that he's, like, bought into me and he doesn't really know me well yet. So, he talked about today having blind trust. And, I have a lot of trust in him already, just how he talks and, how he presents in the room and things like that. It's really cool to see.
I'm going to get what I want.
That is the line. That's the line that really resonated with me. I'm going to get what I want, which it's not a stretch to say he didn't get what he wanted last year under Bobby Slowick. It's not a stretch.
I mean,
it's something that we've heard about, and he kind of said that. So it's not a stretch to say I wasn't quite feeling it last year.
Right. And I mean, you could take it from that direction. I think that might be the more salacious of the areas. But I do appreciate the idea because I think it is meaningful, even if you take it from the more safe interpretation, mm-hmm. which is just when I step to the offensive line, right, and I'm ready to call a play, we are going to get advantageous things for me on this field. I am going to get an opportunity.
And I'm in control.
Exactly. To be in control and find the best opportunity of what this play mm-hmm. can be on the field. Bobby Slowick frequently talked about, you know, the players on the field making him right. But that was one of the things that I thought was very frustrating is that the place where there is the most opportunity for a player to make the coach right on an offensive play is when the quarterback steps to the line. Mm-hmm. And even after that 15-second, you know, the internal communications in the helmet, even when that cuts off, looking at the defense, whether they're changing the picture late, whether you see the from that particular vantage point, no one has the better look of what is happening on this defense than that quarterback in that moment, and giving him the opportunity to look at what he sees across from him mm-hmm. and determine this is going to work, this isn't going to work. I think there's just vulnerability there. I think that gives him the most opportunity to be able to get the best look and make the coordinator right, make the play call right. And I'm so happy that this is going to be, like he's put it out there very flatly.
No.
He is going to have that ability in a way that it was evident that he did not have that prior.
Nor should anyone else have that ultimate responsibility. If you draft a franchise quarterback and everybody agrees that he's a franchise quarterback, you want the ball and the decision-making in his hands. So even if it's not salacious, as you put it, even if it's not, even a stretch, at minimum, he made it very clear there was some level of disconnect last year. Like what he wanted, what Bobby Slowick demanded, what, you know, et cetera. So it's in his hands now, and I wouldn't want it any other way. Here's the other thing. I feel like it gives C.J. Stroud, excuse might be a bit of a hard word, but it's all in his hands now. Like he's getting what he wants. He's going to be more in control at the line of scrimmage. He got Christian Kirk. He's got Gerard Johnson here as his guy that we'll get to later. He's got more say in the offense. You know, the offensive line, he wasn't crazy about letting some of these guys go, but they're bolstering the offensive line, and there's likely a wide receiver on the way. So C.J. Stroud is getting everything that he wants to run this offense.
Would you say that it's isolating the variable? And even that kind
of, yes.
I tend to use that in a little bit more negative connotation.
No, it's literally that.
But it's like, hey, man, it's going to take away any, or at least in theory, it takes away any of the boundaries on his success, and it puts it fully in his hands, which I think you want when you have a guy that you are convinced, and I think rightfully so, but maybe someone has some level of doubt out there. I'll leave that to you because I don't know if I can get with that.
Yeah.
But when you are convinced that you have a player of a certain caliber in the NFL at quarterback, mm-hmm. you want to give him the maximum power. Just yesterday, we were talking about Peyton Manning and his ability to be his offensive coordinator on the field, right? Mm-hmm. And it is storied the ways that Peyton Manning could come up to the line of scrimmage with the same play over and over and over again and continue to ring it out for yards mm-hmm. because he knew how to play the chess match at the line of scrimmage. Hey man, at the very least, let C.J. Stroud get in that game.
And, yeah,
I mean that is the level. That's also a part of his development, right? You get to a certain level as a quarterback, and in order to get the highest level of what you have, is being able to step up and play that mind game of it. I think Tom Brady is the one who talked about it, who's talked about it in a way that it feels really accessible, where he's like, the way to, you know, no play is going to be perfect for a situation. It mm-hmm. is stepping up to the, you know, behind under center, or I guess behind the center if you're in shotgun or what have you, or mm-hmm. pistol. And being able to look at what is happening and then make the tweaks and the adjustments to make sure that the play that you have fits perfectly for the situation, and then you go and win. And how much more do you go back to the idea of the five-headed monster and think,
mm-hmm.
well, yeah, you had five heads of a monster, but you weren't able
to
utilize them perfectly because you could not put them in the perfect situation for any given play because the quarterback did not have full opportunity to adjust what's happening.
And the coordinator said, don't do that.
Right.
You know, stick with what we call, stick with option B and option C that we gave you. So isolating the variable is the best way to put it because, I thought he's out of excuses. Well, that connotation is not right. But now it's in, more succinctly, it's in C.J. Stroud's hands, and I wouldn't want it anywhere else. How many times over the course of the season, people talking about, you know, and we talk about it some, but, you know, some of the struggles that C.J. Stroud, but how many times did I defend him and did we defend him, you know, saying, in fact, I flat out said, you could argue his season was even better or as good, at least, than the previous rookie year. simply because of he was running for his life. He wasn't getting the options. He wasn't able to make plays, et cetera. Well, now it's on him, and that's what we want.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see what this can produce. Not only because of that, I think that was the part that very much easily jumped out to all of us in comparison to his time under Bobby Slowick. I also thought what was very interesting is that I don't know. This is why I said I don't think he gave away all the game, is because he still said, you know, what Nick Caley did in New LA, England and yeah. L.A. Like, that's, we kind of knew that it would be some level of inspiration there. But I think he did circle back around to, that's some of what we did in Ohio State. And I was like, oh, okay. That's when a light went on for me, where I was like, if you can utilize even some principles of what they had at Ohio State, I think that now you could be cooking with grease in a way because there's a level of familiarity, there's a level of mastery in a way that, okay, we're bringing in a New England or L.A.-based offense. I go, I don't know exactly what that is. If you're telling me there's principles based off of what Ryan Day did with him at Ohio State, I go, oh, okay. He should be very much comfortable with those. Those should be secondhand nature, and then that allows to lower the learning curve or the whatever the barriers might that reasonably be for an offense that's new. And now you can immediately get to a place where how can we cook at a higher level, especially if you're going to give him the opportunity to make those adjustments. He has to be able to know the language well enough, right, in a way. And not just like the actual language and the terminology, but in some ways, the language of how the offense operates. I think that all of those things were deeply encouraging to me in a simple, singular quote from C.J. Stroud.
Very simply, if I'm going to struggle or if I'm going down, I want to go out on my terms.
That feels so negative for the situation that's
actually
here.
Very simply, this is what's going on. And I think he loves it. I think he embraces it. I think he wants it. And I think he's probably, you know, motivated by it. Now he feels like my offense. You know, these guys are going to call the plays. You know, the quarterback is going to help. The quarterback coach is going to help me. But once I get to the line of scrimmage, my offense.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously the juxtaposition is with Bobby Slowick. This was, can you give me C.J. Stroud 14 here, Figgy? Because this was C.J. Stroud. I mean, still being a pretty positive C.J. as we always know. But about the lessons that he learned under Bobby as offense coordinator.
Yeah, you know, Bobby's taught me a lot about just, you know, like ownership, you know, taking real ownership on your job and making sure that, you know, like you're doing what you need to do, play in and play out. And that's something I think that I got better at as I kept going, like learning what everybody's doing. You know, he challenged me on that a lot, motions and different formations and just all the nine. And I think it's just cool just to have, you know, somebody who, you know, came from San Fran and came here and learned more, and then and to see him open up our second year and to see him try to, you know, like learn new things and stuff. It was dope to see. So, you know, I'm always going to be a fan of Bobby Slug, and, you know, I think he has a lot of great things that he's done and will do in his career in coaching, and I'm excited to see. So, yeah, man, I'm you know, just really appreciative of our time together, you know, and definitely rooting him on.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't deny what he said there. I mean, obviously he was very appreciative. I feel he's also very, very excited about what's coming.
No, and I think the interesting part of that is obviously C.J. Stroud is going to be a people builder inherently as his demeanor. And I thought that was interesting. But at the same time, it did not elude me that he's talking about, C.J. Stroud, or sorry, Bobby Slowick opening things up in year two and continuing to learn in this. And I think that is something that I think if you highlight it, you could probably see how that factored in. And Bobby Slowick was probably not the fully recognized article when it comes to offensive coordinator. And I'm not certain that Nick Caley is, absolutely, but I do think that at the very least it'll be collaborative with Caley, with C.J. Stroud, and I guess obviously with Jerod Johnson. It seems like we'll give you more of that audio as we go along the program. But it feels like it gives them an opportunity to have, especially if you say neither of them is like a fully full article, at least now if it's collaborative, you get a much better, more stronger, well thought out offense. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that gets me the most excited about the upcoming season. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I did ask what was the worst thing that happened to you on your birthday, as I am celebrating my birthday. I appreciate all the well wishes. Somebody said they were in a firefight in Nam on their 21st birthday.
Oh, wow.
Another person said that the worst thing that happened on their 21st birthday is they went to jail for an outstanding warrant. So, yeah, man, there's ways that your birthday could be rough. If you want to go ahead and share those, please do. It's at least good for a laugh. We can be cathartic together. But coming up next, let's circle back to an Astros victory last night against the Blue Jays, a very decisive one, in fact. And within it, the star of the show was Hunter Brown, but also a secondary star of the show, Zach DiCenzo. Does he need to play more? We'll talk about that next. Happy Tuesday. Happy Earth Day to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, Figgy Fig. hanging out with you. Hope that you're having a good one to this point. Although I feel like I feel kind of like a jerk. It is Earth Day, so you know, do some good for
it's
Earth.
Birthday. But then
it's also Earth it is my birthday. It's my 33rd birthday. Yeah. And I guess in honor of that, but just as we were talking, it made me ask what's the worst thing that's happened to you on your birthday? And that's kind of a jerk thing to ask. Like I feel like some of y'all are having to relive some tough times. Like the 713 who said on their 21st birthday went to jail for 72 months. I can only imagine what sent you to jail for 72 months.
Goodness.
Good God.
Goodness.
But also, there's a lot of 21st birthday bad omens,
yeah.
Ain't there?
Yeah.
281 said they took three horsemen shots back to back to back. Next thing they remember is trying to pull down their pants and urinate in public. Goodness gracious.
Oh, God.
All right.
I seen people get beat up on their birthday.
That's tough.
Like just being out and about and the guy the birthday and then next thing he in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
Getting too loose.
Yeah. Got his ass whooped.
Yeah. Getting too loose.
Damn, man,
it.
On your birthday. I seen girls get beat up on their birthdays. That's even worse.
Who are you hanging out with?
Yeah. Not the right people is the correct
thing. In these streets, man.
My guy Joel Anderson was like, hey, go get you some margaritas. And I was like, actually, I might need to do that. I had no plans on doing that prior, but maybe so. All right. A man who it felt like his birthday yesterday. Zach DiCenzo played first base in the stead of Christian Walker, who, you know, it just seemed like he needed to sit down. Like he is he has been struggling.
154.
His defense started struggling as well. And so I was like, all right, this lineup, I texted you guys, oh, this lineup is interesting, right? Yeah. They moved Jordan up to
Jake
bat second.
Myers fifth.
Jake Myers batting fifth. Yeah. And then Zach DiCenzo in there. And lo and behold, the bottom of the order showed up, including Zach DiCenzo doing this and more.
This ball hit well to right field. Going back, Springer. That ball's going to be off the wall. Cam Smith being waved home. He's going to score the first run of the game. RBI double for Zach DiCenzo. 1-0 Astros.
Yeah, that was in a 7-0 victory over the Blue Jays, almost called them the Raptors, the Blue Jays. And even that double, I mean, you had Zach DiCenzo, a nice double, like the actual hit. Mm-hmm. He gets to second and he narrowly evades a tag where the ball was there before him.
Yeah.
He somehow had the base running awareness to, you know, contort himself in such a way where the tag missed him and he's safe. And then when he gets home, ultimately
scoring
a run.
And then just for good measure, he did it again.
He did it again where the ball gets there first. And I'm just like, yo, this feels like an omen, right? On a day where Zach DiCenzo, batting ninth, mind you, goes 2-for-3.
With a walk.
A walk, two runs, right? So, like, he's just productive at bats the whole way around, good base running, solid defense, like, hitting the ball hard. Does this need to be, like, especially considering that at the start of the season, when you were making decision on what the roster would be and whether you'd include the young guys being Cam Smith and Zach DiCenzo, that the conversation was, well, if we're only going to bring them up if we can get them consistent minutes, does this have to become a first base platoon at this point?
Okay, so you don't do anything, you know, too rash too soon, but you definitely do it. And by the way, you know, now we know that Zach DiCenzo is going to play again today, which is the right call after a game like yesterday. But here's the thing, and I'll just keep it very simple. If Cam Smith forced the Astros' hand, why shouldn't Zach DiCenzo? Like, Cam Smith forced the Astros' hand. He made them play him. Why is that not true for Zach DiCenzo? Because he's doing it, or at least did it yesterday. And in very limited, was that only his fifth game that he's played in? He's been very productive.
Where would you want him to play? First base?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Are you about to? Oh,
I was about to say, I understand that point you made, but I'm like, where are you going to force the, who you giving up?
I'm glad you asked. We asked that same question about Cam Smith. This is where I'm drawing the correlation. If Cam Smith just made the decision for them, why shouldn't Zach DiCenzo make the decision for them if he continues to do what he's doing? And to Figgy's point, where do you play him? I think, you know, obviously you play him at first base again today. You know, it's probably good for Christian Walker, to be honest. You know, at least a couple of days, get in the cages.
Hopefully reset.
Reset.
Are we talking about Jose Abreu?
Refocus.
Hey, man, the way that he's been playing, I mean, obviously offensively, defensively,
felt
the defense
like we had
is
this
large.
Conversation
I'll put
before.
It this way, outside of the money, I mean, it would be a no-brainer if this was happening when Abreu was here. But, you know, I mean, it would be an absolute no-brainer. So you ask where should he play. I think, you know, more time at first base is a given. I really think, and you and I were talking about this before the show, I think he's kind of angling his way into DH. And the reason is, Jordan is a DH. We know that.
Yes.
By and large. He plays a little bit of left field.
Like he did yesterday. Was that yesterday?
Yeah, he played yesterday. But the only other option at DH, well, there's been Jose Altuve in a couple of games.
Getting him off his feet or out of the field.
Exactly. But by and large, they've gone to Yonner Diaz. Who would you rather have at DH?
Right now?
Yonner Diaz or Zach DiCenzo?
I mean, this is not really an actual choice.
It's not even a question.
This is not really an actual choice, which just, I mean, if you just look at demeanor, and I mean, we're doing a lot for a dude who is batting .222 right now, right? I do want to acknowledge that because I know there's someone listening like, all right,
five
guys,
games?
We're doing recency bias. And yes, we're doing recency bias. Did you see the 3-for-4 outing that he had?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, yeah, as of right now, I think I might actually want him doing that. The only thing, I definitely want him to get on the field more, but I want to also acknowledge that it's not easy to find him spaces to play. But yeah, man, it's got to be more than what it had been. This is Joe Espada, of course, saluting the outing that Zach DiCenzo had, but kind of highlighting some of that that will or want to play him.
Like a true pro, you know, it's not easy having young players who they want to be out there. I want to have them all out there. I'm a player development, you know, that's how I came up. In my professional career, I understand the value of playing every day. But the way he's going about things, you know, preparing every day, taking extra swings, working on his defense at first in the outfield, I'm proud of him because he's not easy. He's not easy. And going out there against one of the best starters in the game and put those at-bats together, it was great to see. He'll be playing tomorrow.
So he's going to be playing today. I mean, but yeah, he did a great job against Kevin Gausman, who, you mean, he did not have a great day all the way around because
Gausman was dealing for about going into the fifth inning.
That's what I'm saying, because of the was that the third time around with this order and really the bottom of the lineup, but because of Zach DiCenzo, like the idea of just like staying ready, do you think that that's viable or do we need to get him on the field?
It's only viable to a point. And you know, Joe Espada knows that. You've got to get this guy more at bats with his youth. I think he's 24 years old. Obviously his talent, and he's a big dude, man.
He is
a big dude. And you heard a couple of things there that might raise an eyebrow as well. Getting some practice reps in the outfield. There's another option, Figgy.
Well, I mean, he
wasn't
right field but left field.
Getting options here in the outfield, first base, DH. You know, who knows? You know, where you could put. He could be almost like a utility guy too if Dubon's playing second. And, you know, and Altuve's in left field. Maybe get him in some situations, you know, in the later innings and stuff. Like, you can, you know, here I go with my favorite saying again. Don't tell me about the waves. Just bring that ship in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't tell me about, oh, what about this? What about that? You can find time for him to get it back.
Yeah. No, I think they can, but I'm wondering, will they try to find that time to get him back? Because we kind of seen how it played out last year and how much time it was given to Abreu, where we like, man, this ain't it. So I wonder how much time are they going to give whatever the situation is. Like, I don't know if they just going to swap out people and just set somebody to the side. I wonder how much time they going to give.
Right. In the shortest term, well, the tough part about it is like,
and it's early.
It is early. If you were not thinking in like purely baseball terms, if you were just like, well, I can try and fit more in this, cut a little bit off from some of these other guys and put it over there. But that's not really the way that you want to do baseball. You want guys in their position every day for the most part, outside of just when they absolutely need to get breaks.
Yeah.
But I guess you could maybe do that, just like steal a start here or there from various other people and just kind of rotate getting rest relatively frequently. Or like, could you consider like the idea, and I know that he'll probably do more than just like a straight platoon at first, right? Obviously, he'll probably get some right and some in right field and some in left field maybe, and think about some of those things. But like, if you were to go platoon with him and Christian Walker, would that be a good thing considering like how much that you've invested in Christian Walker and how much he needs to get out of this? And eventually, once he does, because it feels like not impossible, but it feels improbable to me at the very least that this is just the downfall of Christian Walker and it just all falls off of a cliff, right? But
not off the table at his age.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not. And I mean, we already talked about the way that there was a little bit of a downturn in his production at the very end of his tenure with Arizona, but I don't think it was trending in such a way where it would fall this heavily. But could you see, or what if there was to be a platoon split, what could you see? Like 40-60?
No,
70-30?
I think 60-40 would be more than good enough. You know, ultimately, Joe Espada's, you know, if you go by, you know, job profile, job description, He's responsible for what happens on the field. Dana Brown is responsible. Now, they're collaborative, but Dana Brown is largely responsible for personnel, contracts, etc. If Joe Espada is going by job description, he owes it to the team. He owes it to himself to find some more places where they can put DeZinzo at first base, if this continues.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out today. Maybe what if he goes 2-for-3 again, 2-for-4?
Well, I mean, that
the decision-making, he's forcing your hand, like I started this thing.
Yeah, it might be hot hand theory, which I don't typically subscribe to, but you're 2 games out of first, which isn't terrible by any means, but if you could find a little bit of offense and put some games together.
Yeah.
You know.
The momentum.
Might as well do that. I'm not listening to y'all. It's my birthday. I'm going to deal with this. All right, you're in the loop. Here you on Sports Radio 610. I did ask, what's the worst thing that's happened to you on your birthday for the 832? For my 33rd birthday, oh, wow. They said they were in the Persian Gulf War. So they told me that it's still time for me to join. The cutoff is 37. I will take that into consideration.
Yeah, no,
that is the
not.
Nice way
no,
of saying won't. No thank you. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into the question of the day on this Earth Day. 713-572-4610. What's something that, you know, you could afford, you're just not willing to pay for? Courtesy of Cam Jurgens, the center of the Eagles. He got a little bit of money, and he's finally deciding to splurge. We'll talk about it next. All right, you're in the loop. And I feel like I might have done the thing where I have 2 questions a day going simultaneously, John Lopez, because it is my birthday, and I actually feel very uncomfortable that I've already mentioned that so many times, so I'll try and cut that out. But it is relevant because that led to me asking all of you listening to get involved on the Jim Adler, the Text Hammer text line, 713-572-4610, and let me know what is the worst thing that's happened to you on your birthday. And boy, there have been stories. A lot of them alcohol related, but not all of them. Mm-hmm. You'd be shocked. Not all of them alcohol related with people turning up. A lot of them on the 21st birthday, though, which does track. However, the question of the day originally is actually related to Cam Jurgens. He's the center of the Philadelphia Eagles, and he just got paid $68 million over a 4-year deal as the Eagles continue to find money in places where I am surprised that they have it.
Yep.
Like they are finding ways to get talented players. And I guess some of it is that they just draft so incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
They develop those guys and then they pay them when they
sign them early.
Yeah. And they do sign them early, which that is a thing that is it's nice to see that the Texans are, you know, developing into a strategy that, and also like making sure that the culture of the guys that they get fit in with what they're doing. They talked about that quite a bit. The various people, including Will Anderson, we'll hear from him a little bit later in the show as well. But the interesting thing about Cam Jurgens was not just that he got paid. Good for him. It's that it's what is a question that sports writers love asking a dude who just got paid, John.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? What's the first thing you're going to do?
What's the first purchase you're going to do? Because we all want to live vicariously through you. We do not have cash. So what is the big purchase you're going to make?
A new house for your mom.
How you going to celebrate?
New car, big trip. Nah, man. He said he's going to. And keep in mind, this is what made me laugh and you know, reminded me to make this a question of the day. It's $78. To get the TSA pre-check. Last time I checked, it might be a little more now, but last time I looked, it was like $78.
I mean, it's not breaking 150.
No, for TSA pre-check.
And is that for the year?
Yes. And he said, and I'm sure our listeners will correct me if that's changed, but anyway, he made $5 million last year, and $78 was too much to spend on TSA. He goes, I travel a lot. I might get that TSA pre-check. Now that he's got $18 million a year, I guess he can afford it. So it got me thinking. Things, and I've got a few, things that you can absolutely afford, but you just refuse to pay the money.
Yeah.
Like some things we just, like I mentioned during the cross, and my sons give me a hard time about this. I refuse to buy shaving cream. Like I just refuse. I like hot water.
It's the principle of the matter for you.
I don't know what it is. If it's that or what.
I have judgment for you in one of the two cases that I think it could be. If it's just this thing works for me very well and I like this a lot more. No judgment.
Yeah.
If it's I refuse to spend money on this thing that I can do without, then I got judgment.
It's kind of both because a long time ago.
Half judgment then.
When I was like in my 20s, I remember I got my first real shave at a barbershop and they put that hot towel on your face. And then the guy was spraying me with water. He didn't use shaving cream. He just gave me a shave with the hot water. And I went, this is all right. I like this. So ever since then, I just use scorching hot water on my face to shave. So that's one I refuse to buy shaving cream. The other one, and this is just me that I don't want them to get me. I don't want them to win.
Oh, okay.
You know?
That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. You know, on a new laptop or on a laptop, after your initial virus subscription that they
You don't need that. Yeah.
It always pops up.
Well, actually, you might need that. I don't know what websites you go to, but generally
the antivirus.
That McAfee subscription thing, would you like to renew for just blah, blah? Every time I'm like, no, 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 I'm not going to get that McAfee subscription.
That's a good one. So there's some good ones already coming in here on the text line and on the YouTube page. A couple of people, both Kix Rocks on the YouTube page and Vulcan on the text line, the Easy Tag. They like, I'm not paying for tolls. I pay enough taxes. I am midway through because I do got the tag. However, if I can afford to, if in any situation, if I have the time, what have you, I'm not taking the toll. I reserve the toll for circumstances where it's like I just got to get somewhere. I need to cut down this time. So I will hop on the toll, but in very, very limited circumstances.
I love suckers like y'all because I got used that toll me every too. Time.
No, it was a couple times.
We're the sucker. How much did you pay to get to work?
I don't care. Nah, it's worth it.
It was a couple times where I'm like, wait a minute. This toll was $4.
Exactly, for a stretch.
And then if I stay on the same, the regular street, and it's the same time to get there.
That's
where
right.
I'm like, man, nah, I'm cool, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you spend that money.
Sometimes I just go on through, but sometimes I'll be like, man, wait a minute.
Hold on, I paid for this. What you mean?
Sometimes you got to check the receipt
That's the exact opposite of the question of the day. I'll pay that all year long.
The convenience always works for you.
All the time. I don't care what they charge. I'm going to use that Easy Tag.
You know what my answer is? And it's funny because I know that this is something where I think it's a level of youth. And I think also just not necessarily, I mean, I have the money in some ways, but I didn't have the money when I developed this habit. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder if and when it changes. I refuse to pay for delivery unless it's absolutely necessary. I'm getting up and going again, right? Like a pizza, fast food.
So you anti-Uber Eats?
100%.
DoorDash?
100%. Yeah, they are my enemies. Look, why would I pay for you to send it when I could just get up and go get it?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
And it's usually faster than waiting for them to deliver it too.
Yeah, it is.
To that point, I'm somewhat anti-drive-through at times. If it's like a long line to drive-through, I will park and go in.
But what can you afford that you're just not going to pay?
I would probably say whenever I buy like a new device, they'd be like, hey, do you want this 3-year warranty?
The protection plan.
Yeah, I'm like, nope. Like, dog, I haven't had a protection plan on my phone in years,
ever.
Man. Because I realize, like, I don't really drop my phone like that. I never really break my phone. So I'm like, I'm paying hundreds of dollars or whatever for this. And I'm like, I never had to turn my phone in because I broke it or something. So I'll just be like, nah, I'm out here raw dogging.
Shout out to the 832. They said cable TV. Someone said they went from
a good one.
3GS phone to a 10. They were in a novel. They were a novelty in the Apple store. Also, I'm guessing you mean the 10 like now. You out here like a decade behind what everybody else on. I respect that.
A lot of people like, saying parking tickets. I wouldn't recommend it, but I get it.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. There is a place in Dallas, Texas that if I parked there, they might get me towed.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, y'all going to have to come get in blood.
Oh, they got your picture out there.
No, but here's the issue. Like, it was a very particular circumstance. So they have a parking lot where it's like, you can pay, but if you stay for under 2 hours, it's free. We were like, we're not staying for 2 hours. We went into this restaurant. It was a group of us. And we were ready to go. And we would have been out of there in like 90 minutes. Except the ticket took forever to get to us and to get paid. But they're like, no, it's a separate merchant that does the parking lot, then the restaurant. I'm like, that's not my fault. This is not my fault. I'm not paying three figures on a ticket. That's not even my fault because y'all was running a scam on me, basically, right? Because y'all was like, we're going to hold this ticket until the time go up. I refuse.
There's some bad decisions coming in, too. Some 832 said life insurance. Nah, man, get the life insurance.
Nah, yeah. It might be a scam, but it's worth it at the end, man.
Get the life insurance.
The one thing I would not pay, sometimes I pay for it when I'm forced, but valet parking.
Marcus came through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phoenix Marcus is what I'm going to start calling our boy. The valet parking. I tried, and the worst part about it for me is like, I might be inclined to do valet here and there. I just never carry cash. So I always feel terrible.
About the tip.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm like, are you supposed to put a little something on it here?
Sometimes it'd be a small little venue. I'm like, I could park my car over there. Like, I could pay for the valet parking, but I'd rather just park my car, 100%. Keep my keys.
I don't get enough steps in as is.
Yeah.
Separate but related. I really am not liking all these places popping up that only have valet parking.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts. I mean, you mean there's nowhere else I can park? Nope.
Yeah.
Valet only. give me a break.
Yeah.
Also, this is an interesting one. I absolutely will not buy food or alcohol at a sporting event.
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
Event is tough, but you know the place that I do agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Movie theater.
Oh, no, yeah. That's part of the experience.
Absolutely not.
Food and all that stuff, it's been, like, sometimes I have a taste for popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, I get a popcorn, something to drink. But for the most part, man, we bring it in Chipotle in there. We bring it all type of stuff.
You see LeBron going to a theater? I think he went to go see Sinners with his wife. And the picture that they took, you could see the bulge in his hoodie. He, like, knowing LeBron and how cheap he is.
He's got a sandwich in there.
He got snacks in there. LeBron James, a man who I think owns half of the NBA at this point, I haven't substantiated that, is out here sneaking Mike and Ike's into the theater. Yeah. If he can do it, I can.
Another thing that I'm very kind of cheap on, I guess. So I needed some new headphones. Mm-hmm. I just got these headphones.
Oh, yes, you do have headphones. Yeah,
I ain't want to pay the full price for them. I'm like, I'll pay half of it.
Did you use the Afterpay or the Klarna?
It wasn't Afterpay, but it was something on Amazon where they let you pay without no interest and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just pay like $50 here, and then I pay the rest of it, which is only, I think these only cost $90.
Yeah.
And I got the $90, but I ain't trying to spend the $90 on this. So I'm like, I pay $50 here, then $20 there, and then $20 the next month.
Mm-hmm. Also, shout out to the 281 because I think I might be getting close to phasing out of this because of the quality at times. Pay-per-view fights.
That's so easy. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah,
that's a good one. I would never pay for a pay-per-view fight, man.
I am the less than legal king on those, man. But the only thing is that sometimes you get to that seventh round and then you get that circle of death and you're like, damn it!
Yeah. Another bad decision? Let's just say protection.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll pay for that every time.
You got to do the cost analysis on
I will pay for that every time. Just letting you know. Too much information on this Tuesday, but I will pay for that every time. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Yes, Sally, it is my birthday. I appreciate all the well wishes coming in. Again, I'll say this because I said it earlier on the show. If you were inclined to do anything for me, support the put a little bit. If you got a little extra, put a little bit on the Houston Food Bank or the Houston Area Women's Center. I'd appreciate that quite a bit. In fact, if you do that, hit me up on social media. I'll give you a shout out. How about that? But coming up next, a man who I love shouting out, B. Scott will join us as we go around the NFL next.